form it. Those objects, that physical residue of that activity, is simply the trace of such a life. Eve Klein was one of the few artists who could teach us this, and in a particular way, his work, like the best art, didn't provide answers, it raised questions. The more conventional forms of his activity remain, get celebrated, and seem more conspicuous, of course, because life tends to be conventional, and people want art to match it. This exhibition upstairs, like so many exhibitions, teaches us a lot about an artist's work by showing what, by necessity, must be left out. Parenthetically, I would add, for the artists here today, I suggest you read the excellent catalog, as well as look at the objects which made it into the exhibition. The point being that artists who only see the objects in art are doomed to make art like an art historian, the probable route to money and mediocrity. Well, for Eve Klein, whose first work was To Sign the Sky, exhibitions like this one can only be a shadow of the real activity that made his work important, because, as we know, the sky will never fit into a museum. Of the lessons to be learned about the art of our century, and Klein's work shows this, is that if art is a game, it is about making rules, not following them. Klein's work has the power of authenticity because it was singular, uncompromising. No one else could have done it. In this sense, it was the expression of one human being. But the work wasn't about these things. It wasn't about being expressive. It was expressive in the act of one man trying to make art visible to himself and doing so in a way which helped others see it.
At this time, I would like to ask whether there are members of the panel who want to comment on perhaps some of the other statements by Ms. Van Arman.
Yes. I want to speak about two heavens that I've witnessed, and Pierre will remember certainly one. It's about the leap. After the publication of Dimanche, Eve has been questioned, challenged about the possibility of make that leap. And finally, one day, at the Galerie Rive Droite, he decided to give a demonstration of the possibility of leaping from a certain height. The Galerie Rive Droite had the inside stair going to the second floor. He climbed to the last stairs, about, I would say, 10 feet, and without any net or any protection, jump and make a breakdown, a judo breakdown, on the floor of the gallery. He hurt himself, strained his right shoulder, and that's I've been bothering him for two weeks at least. I don't think he could jump from the second story of a building without hurting himself the same fashion. As a practitioner of judo myself and training with Eve for years, I know the possibility and the impossibility. But I believe in the appropriation in the vision of Eve Klein of the jump on the void and on the man on the space. The second event took place at the Gallery Colette Allendy. It was at the end of the first show. The first show include 56, yes, include several monochromes of different colors. And Eve didn't like too much the proximity of different colors together, being afraid that it will be interpreted as a whole, as a composition like a Mondrian or Bauhaus connection of color between themselves. But as Eve was very curious, Colette Allendy told him about the Dr. Allendy, a psychiatrist, a psychoanalyst that wrote books about art and analyse. And the office of the Dr. Allendy was on the second floor. And she showed to Eve the desk where the Dr. Allendy wrote. At the time, the Dr. Allendy was dead. died. And Yves was very impressed, and he said, oh, I can feel the sensible presence of the Dr. Allende there, but I want to do something. And he came close to the window that was up on the facing the garden, was a stove, and he said, there, I'm going to put a zone of immaterial pictorial sensitivity. It was the first time Yves, at my knowledge, mentioned the idea of immaterial pictorial sensitivity.
Yeah. Well, listen, if we are in this kind of historical, well, what are you doing? You understand me? Yeah. Well, we can complete that too if you want, since I wanted to spare you this kind of thing. But let's do that since we are witnesses and maybe it's our duty to say that. I want to complete Armand's statement by two things. First, it is true that in the first Colette Allende show in Paris in 1956, where he showed different colored monochrome, he discovered that room in the second floor of the building, and that he decided to create that as a right. And by the way, he decided that it was an immaterial zone of sensitivity, and that only one person at once should be allowed in it. So he was already created a ritual. Now, I would like to comment a little bit the story of the famous leap into space and with all the mystery which is abound. The mystery was created on purpose by Yves Klein, and well, I reckon that he tried to bound all the destiny, all the witnesses and all the people who had to deal with him about the fact by the kind of moral horse or a kind of moral sermon. That's what he did with the photographs, and that's the reason why the secret was kept so long. This may be only through the power of Machiavelli and Mrs. de Menil together that a few documents could come into the open air. And when I asked him why he was doing such a mystery about that, he said to me, don't forget that you are entering in the space-time, and that will be a part of my contribution to the space legend. But I don't think that Gagarin and the other will last just as much as me. So, you see, he had another kind of feeling about space, of course, that the cosmonauts. But remember that all those events were absolutely contemporary, and that his leap into space is exactly contemporary to the Gagarin trip of a few months. So that also is something to consider, that he was absolutely very conscious and aware of this possibility of creating a legend. And by the way, it was true. Look, we have centered all this kind of evocation about this leap. So it is a posteriori good testimony of his rightness and of his sense of timing this kind of important and structural events. He had a very strong sense of time, of course, and at that moment, this reference of his personal leap into space in connection with the spectacular beginning of the cosmonaut adventure was quite interesting. Because it was a kind of challenge. The space age of the NASA and of the Russian cosmonauts is based on technology. The space vision of Yves Klein is based upon sensitivity, affectivity, and let us say, extramental knowledge. It's quite different. And I remember that Yves-Klein had been very much impressed when Gagarin, the first man into the space, came back into Russia. And you remember, surely, that all the Politburo was in the Kremlin, in the Red Square, and they had made him a real red carpet treatment, something like 200 yards of red carpet. And Gagarin, you know, in complete uniform, came and went to see Khrushchev and said to Khrushchev, "Comrade Khrushchev, the mission that the Politburo of the Communist Party had affided to me has been completed." That means that already the big technological powers that Russia was and is had decided to demystify the space adventure. Gagarin was considered just like a technician, that a man which scope was to be a normal man into unnatural, exceptional conditions of survival, which is a space survival. And by the way, the American NASA people did the same. All the mythology of the cosmonauts is an anti-mythology. You see them just now normal men. They have a family life. Sometimes they get crazy, but they become preachers. And if they don't get crazy, they become chairman of business companies, you see. So they are really, in that sense, just natural man. And non-conquistadores, and non-really, you know, our civilization has decided not to create new conquistadores with the cosmonaut people. And that's very interesting to consider that. So the space age is just a technical step into the general technological evolution. And the people in charge of that have just to remain normal men into special condition of living into space. You know, that's very important. And by his sleep, Yves-Klein wanted to signify something else. So I think that the choice of Conquistador of the Void as a general title for the meeting, it's quite good as a historical reference, because he was living another adventure of space, while the NASA and the Russian were just developing their technological kind of progress.
Okay. Olivier, did you have something to say?
I just wanted to say about the people here on the panel that I think that the other American artists were very early interested in Yves-Klein. I think Larry Rivers wrote an article that I haven't read very early, and it's also somebody we could... that's it.
Ed Keenholz was another.
Keenholz also.
Tom? Can I get into this for a moment? I like this way of using it, too. Back to the fascinating photograph called The Leap. I can agree with Nan that by publishing the photograph at one time with the bicyclist and at one time without it, Eve is definitely teasing and tempting his audience, as he always did. At the same time, I referred to evidence which supports the fact that on at least two occasions outside of the photographed day, Eve did make unprotected leaps. One of these two that I was referring to is the one that Armand just described. The other one was from a second-story ledge outside in Coletta Lundy's garden. It's documented in the catalog. I would also like to suggest or just mention, in terms of the publication of the photograph, now with the bicyclist and now without it, that there is a tantalizing rumor that the bicyclist in the photograph also is Eve himself.
Okay. Nan, do you want to?
Yes. The point I was trying to make is that the two public leap photos that we have are works of art published by the artist. What he did leaping around in his own time is one thing. I want to make a distinction between a work of art that he published and a piece of private biography. To support that, let me just read one paragraph of the text which Klein published in Dimanche to accompany the first leap photo. This is even without the second photo. The monochrome, who was also a fourth Dan black belt judo champion, regularly practices dynamic levitation. Then Klein writes, with or without a net, at the risk of his life. The point is, the artist in his own text is pointing the reader to the possibility that there was a net.
Two footnotes to the leap. In an announcement for one of Julian Schnabel's show, there is a photograph that is quite reminiscent of, in fact, this leap. And about a week ago, I saw at O.K. Harris work, the artist whose name now escapes me, of a leap, what seems to be from the top rung of the Guggenheim into the void. So that seems to be continuing as part of the iconography.
I mean, there's some Andy Warhol pictures of people jumping out of buildings also.
I don't want deny the I don't want to deny the audience a chance to ask questions because we are running short on time. Are there questions? I think that the acoustics are good enough so that you can just do it right from your seat. Are there questions? Yes.
Himself and all that, what they have invested in that. I mean, why they think it's important that he hurt himself and that he leaped actually. What importance is it?
Well, I guess they try to point out if Eve was sincere or not. That's the importance of the discussion about if he really risked his life or didn't risk his life, if he was serious about risking his life and the accomplishment of that slip. I guess that was the point.
Hello, wait, let me just say something about that. I think it has to do with the notion of distance and with a notion of something being fictive or metaphoric and an idea about what is really happening. And I think that when he's, one of the things that you have to understand about all things, I imagine, is that they do exist in a context. So I think they're just trying to enlighten you to what they think the context really was to give you some kind of clue to what the truth might have been. You don't think that's true? Uh-huh. Why? Okay. Well, I mean, I think they have two opposite positions on this. So you're just disagreeing with both of them for being interested in that?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Uh-huh. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. Okay. I am saying that there's a certain investment in a vision of this hero artist. If he had wanted to be heroic, he could have gone to the 11th floor. That would have been a heroic.
That would have been dumb.
If you want, you can try.
Well, listen, you don't measure the heroism of somebody when he jumps, you know, to the quantity of floors, you
but
see.
I think it's a different thing. There is a Japanese artist who actually did this, and he jumped from the 11th floor.
This is an Austrian tradition, too.
Yeah, right.
There was a question over there. Okay, right here.
But that's different. He was able to leap from a certain height, but the document would not have been very good. And I guess he had already the sense, which is now a modern sense of self-publication that many artists use now, to try to get a good document that could be readable by everybody and just understandable right at the first sight. But he was able to make, and he did try some of those jumps, and he hurt himself. Okay, he didn't try to kill himself. That was not the goal, the main goal. But I guess the photo montage was just to get a good, a clean, a readable, exhilarating document that could just be a work of art in itself, like a conceptual work of art.
But Armand, he went to great efforts to publish a different the different second image in the Krefeld catalog. He wrote to the museum directors 3 or 4 times, insisting on the publication of a different photo. I mean, it wasn't just...
There was a lapse of time between the two photos, and maybe he had already so many discussion about that.
Okay, another question?
Well, I think, as Pierre pointed out before, Yves was a kind of cannibal. I certainly regard those photographs as his work and not as Schunken-Kender's work. He believed deeply in collaboration. It was something that interested him tremendously and was willing, as you've both said, to take assistance wherever he could get it. But I really think that we have to regard those works as Klein's rather than...
No, well, listen, I will tell you something. The collaboration as Nan is alluding to is the collaboration in the idea of Yves Klein. He was using the photographs like he was using the sky, like he was using the colors, and in that sense it's true. But let me again, and I am sorry to be in that sense, the kind of, let us say, historical pointer, but do not forget that he did that in a kind of, let us say, competitive, a concurrential spirit. Do not forget that that time was the beginning and the fascinating beginning of the space age, of the technological space age. It was the beginning of the space adventure, and Yves Klein, as a spaceman for other reasons, felt in competition with all the NASA and the Russian programs. He wanted also to make his leap into space and to give another quality to these kind of images. And he wanted, in his own way, just to be competitive with all the mass media who are supporting the new space age. Do not forget that. That's also very important. And that's the reason why he took those risks too.
Peter, go ahead.
He died of a heart attack, but a very special one, because it was a serious of heart attacks. He had something like 11 or 12 strokes, one after the other.
A question there.
And in a very short time.
Yeah. A question there.
Go to Icarus too.
Mm-hmm.
think. No, I just think also that it was something that he did. I mean, it was something that he was involved in doing, throwing his body around in a way. And I think he just took his, this activity that he was involved with, and he did that, and he used that because it was very personal involvement that he had anyway.
Yes, because it's difficult. One of the mistakes would be to disconnect that activity from the all things. I think that it's you have to consider the all.
Well, listen.
Let's take another question.
My point was that...
Did everyone hear the question? No. Let me repeat it. If I can paraphrase it, it was, what is so important about whether the photograph is fraudulent or not? Yeah, owing to the fact that it is in fact a work of art in some respect.
If we go back to Vasari writing about Michelangelo and associating artistic creation with divine creation. What I'm saying here is that this is an example of, in Klein's work, of calling attention to the possibility that that association doesn't work too well anymore. That the idealist tradition in which the artist is a romantic hero maybe isn't functioning at that point with enormous pressures to be vanguard, for example. That tradition is frayed, and that work is a symptom of the fraying of that tradition. I am not, as I say, calling Klein a fraud at all. I'm saying that he is showing you the possibility that he's done something heroic and magical and amazing, and then he has undercut for you by exposing himself 6 weeks later, and by his text, with or without a net. I ought to be able to fly. He never says
I don't think
he can.
That was a big issue.
Actually. You don't think?
No, I don't think that was a big issue in that particular piece. And
I want also to point out something, and Pierre will remember very well. A lot of things that has been done by Yves were done in a kind of a brainstorming with all the gang. Sometimes Iris Claire, Pierre, Robert Gigaudet, Claude Pascal, Tinguely, Paolo Cara, and everybody was suggesting, and there was a kind of overbidding of ideas, and okay, at the start, all the basic idea of Yves were Yves' idea, but some of things like the publication of Dimanche was the result of a brainstorming. Iris Claire was pushing for some PR as well, or some publication, and well, he was drawn and he was pushing on some on that direction on a very naive way, shrewd and naive both ways. But at the end, anyway, when it comes to his mission, he was looking as his work as his mission to monochromy, to void. He was very serious, but all the paraphernalia around didn't count too much at the end. It was something added by the brainstorming, by the environment, by this and by that.
For example, you know, he asked me, and he took the habit to ask me to coin any kind of series of this. When he has a new idea, he asked me to give the number. So, of course, I suggested anthropometries instead of prints, and cosmogonies instead of, let us say, prints of the water, of the rain, nothing like that. But that was just a kind of formal thing. Let me finish about the leaf, since we are still talking about the leaf. Well, all that was a way of using gas, you see. He just uses, he used dust, especially Armand, for example, or people like me, and some architects, he work also close by for this architecture. He used all those intimate friend of his as material, as human material, just as he used pigment and things like that. Very. We are used, and in a way, we are glad to be used. That's also something which is quite interesting.
There's a question there.
Certainly full of energy. The blue paintings have a kind of retinal Tom, would you want to talk to me? I don't want to put you on the spot, but your essay deals a lot with issues of the immaterial.
Yeah, it may seem on the face of it contradictory to say the void is full of this or anything. But obviously the concept, as Klein related to the concept of the void, it was very close to the alchemical concept of prime matter. Clearly he related the IKB monos to that, and in that sense the photo of the leap or any other events of that type also kind of analogized the return of particulars down to the state of prime matter. And basically your question is hard to answer except with a complete affirmation that all of his art and his life seems to have circulated around the idea of a quest for pure energy.
Okay, we're going to have to, call this an afternoon. Thank you all. I appreciate the contribution of all the panelists and glad you could all come. Thank you.